Stop 9 is the third V in the boardwalk railing opposite the second bench.
Here you are next to a tall gray birch tree that shades the boardwalk in the afternoon. Despite its name, the gray birch has white bark. If you reach to the right over and above the railing, you can feel its smooth trunk. Try to find a branch or two that is hanging down so you can examine the leaves. What shape are they? The leaves will turn buttery yellow in the fall and are triangular with a long, thin point.
Now, with your back to the V, take a few steps forward until you reach the V-shaped bench. Have a seat while we focus on several plants in Indian Brook Marsh.
Plants are important organisms in the food web of the marsh. They manufacture their own food through the process of photosynthesis. Their roots, shoots, leaves, flowers, fruits, and seeds feed a wide variety of animals. Wetland plants act as filters to purify water and as sponges to control flooding. Two of the most abundant wetland plants along Indian Brook and its marsh are cattails and purple loosestrife. Cattails are taller than most people, about 6 feet high, with long sword-like leaves. In autumn, the ripe seed heads look more like a big brown sausage than a cat's tail. Native American and colonial people utilized almost all parts of this native plant for food. Purple loosestrife, on the other hand, is an invasive, alien plant from Eurasia and spreads widely because almost nothing here in North America eats it. Its flowers create a beautiful magenta vista, but it crowds out many of our native plants for space in the marsh. What would a marsh be without water lilies? Indian Brook Marsh is packed with lily pads that float on the water and ruffle in the breeze. We have two different species. Fragrant water lily has round pads or leaves and large, sweet-smelling flowers with numerous white petals surrounding a yellow center. Spatterdock has leaves that are oval or heart-shaped. Its flower is a tight yellow globe on a stalk that juts out of the water. While you are sitting, take the opportunity to look and listen for ducks and geese. Most of us are familiar with the loud honking of Canada geese. And the quacking of mallards. The wood duck call is softer, like this. Even when the ducks and geese are silent, it's fairly easy to detect their presence if you sit quietly. Listen for the wing whirr as birds take off and land, and for the sound of a splash landing. You can also hear the click-clack of their beaks as they nibble on duckweed and dabble for submerged vegetation. On the final segment of the boardwalk, you will make the transition from open marsh to forest through a wetland buffer zone. On the right, a stand of silky dogwood displays its autumn colors of crimson leaves and midnight blue berries. From midday on, the trees and shrubs cast shadows that keep the temperature cooler on this part of the trail. When you're ready to walk on, compare your sensory perceptions of this buffer zone with your impressions of other areas of the marsh.
When you are ready, stand up and take a few steps forward until you reach the railing. Turn left so that the railing is on your right. Follow the railing for approximately 115 feet to the end of the boardwalk. The railing runs straight for 87 feet, then it bends to the right. Follow along for another 31 feet. Stop 10 is the large dead tree, a couple of feet before the end of the boardwalk. When you find it, press 10. If you hang up now, remember to redial before entering the stop number.